The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
10 minutes after 7.
Hey, everybody, we're the Artemis Pyle Band. We are making our Opry debut this evening.
I wanted to play that going into Artemis Pyle, but, you know, he kind of just jumped in. Right as it was so kind of herky-jerky there. We didn't know exactly when he was going to come in, but yeah, it was just a great, great honor to talk with Artemis Pyle, who was the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd in the heyday, back in the heyday. You got to love that. And still on the road, drumming in his 70s. And I hope we're all as healthy and manage to keep that going into our 70s and beyond. Joining me right now, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bertschiger. I don't know if you drum or play. Do you even play any musical instruments? Or are you just playing the game of politics, Herman? What do you say? Welcome back.
No, my late wife, she had all the music skills in our family, not me.
Okay. Well, you have other talents. We all have our talents in this particular case. And, of course, he's Josephine County Commissioner at this point in time. Herman, I wanted to dig into something which I've been kind of curious how counties and towns are going to deal with the inflation, which is sticking in the system. And I know that a lot of folks don't even really think much about that. They see the prices going up in the grocery stores and they're thinking that's about the extent of it. But we have an irresistible force meeting immovable object, inflation in costs for local government, but an absolute restriction on the ability for those governments to raise money. Isn't that the case? Isn't that really what we're looking at right now in Oregon?
That's right, Bill, and we'll go into that. But before we go into that, I got my 30-second rant.
Oh, okay. Oh, I interrupted your 30-second rant. All right. Stopwatch is ready.
So
go ahead.
I listened to our famous Homeland Security guru, and he came out and he says the fires in Texas and the unprecedented snowfall in the Sierras is another example of climate change. Well, the reason the fires are burning in Texas in the wintertime is it's primarily herbaceous fuels and grasses that are dormant and have the least amount of live fuel moisture in them. So it's very consistent. That's the type of ground that burns in the wintertime. So that's not unusual at all. And even the Department of Texas Department of Environment has come out and said that. And because we're having all the snowfall in the Sierras, has he forgot about the Donner Party? I mean, come on. They just keep repeating a lie and expecting us to believe it.
It is fascinating, though, how successful, Herman, the lie has been. And when I talk about being successful, that there are many young people that I was reading have real mental health problems because they're sitting around with all sorts of anxiety. And even the mental health people will say, yep, they're anxious about climate change, the climate change hysteria. Because when you listen to government leaders talking about everything bad that happens in the world is due to climate change. If it rains, it's climate change. If it's a drought, it's climate change. If it snows, it's climate change. If it's fire, it's climate change. It's never just, well, dry fuel burns in the summer, right? You know, if it's sparked, you know, and if you don't harvest a forest and you let it get dry and bug infested and then it dies and you don't harvest it, it's going to probably burn. Right? I mean, these are the things we've always known, and yet the kids are thinking that it's all because of their SUV and their cell phone. I think
exactly, and we don't teach history. I mean, if you look at the Great California floods in the 1800s, it was because of a high, very high snowpack, and you had a lake from Sacramento to Bakersfield for near.
That's right.
So, all right, let's go on to county government.
But you see, so that was about a two-minute rant, but it's all right. It's all right. It's worth doing, all right? So we switch from rant then to how is a county like Josephine County and maybe a Curry County and various other ones? Jackson seems to be faring okay, but even Jackson County is not immune to the limitations of 3% a year on tax revenue and costs going up way faster. What do you think?
No, that's exactly what has happened. It's unsustainable. And Jackson County is just a little bit behind because they have a reserve. But I think you will, if you talk to the commissioners, they're starting to eat through that reserve pretty fast. And they need a new jail. So
That's a very expensive bobble. Well, I shouldn't say it's a bobble. It is something that is needed. I don't think there's any way of getting around it. Have you ever toured the Jackson County Jail, by chance? Just wondering.
No, I don't argue with the police officer when I get my ticket. So
okay.
I haven't been there yet.
Well, I mean, I toured it once, and I see the problem with the design. The Josephine County Jail is a different design, from what I understand. It's a more modern one.
But it's also very expensive to maintain. Mm-hmm. So, you got the building of the jail, then you have to maintain it. So those are two different things that you need to keep your eye on.
All right.
But, yes, in Josephine County, historically we've been dependent on revenues off of federal lands. That's all gone away.
Yep.
When I first, got into the job as commissioner, and being on revenue finance for 8 years at the state level, I had pretty good understanding the numbers. And I realized very quickly that we were in a big problem. So when I first got into the county, let's look at the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office was actually being run on reserve funds from old timber receipts. And they were diminishing very, very quickly. In fact, after the first year, they pretty much were exhausted. But then we got COVID, we got ARPA money, and it's supplemented.
It really did kind of backfill, it tided the counties through the in the breach, or fed things there for a little while. But all good things come to an end, right?
That's right. We ejected about $20 million into Josephine County, and that's a lot of money for a little county like this. So it did backfill. So between reserve funds and COVID funds, the last few years, we're pretty much able to keep the sheriff's department nose above water. But we knew that was coming to an end, and so we put that out on the ballot for 99 cents per thousand for a law enforcement district, which is a permanent source of funding. And that's what we need, because our traditional sources of funding are going. They're just evaporating rapidly. And so that's kind of where we're at there. But when I look at, you add this inflation, and I gave a symposium to all the department heads 3 years ago on inflation, warning them how bad it is for local government, because there's no way to offset it. You have your revenue streams, they go up about 3% a year. And
by the way, Herman, if you could explain to people who may not understand, when you say they go up 3% a year, there was a ballot measure that ended up holding the property tax assessed value.
Measure 5. Measure 50
okay.
also. Mm-hmm. Bill, that's not a lot of money. So all the property tax, I got to be careful with my words. It is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. All the property tax money that goes to the county, most of it goes to the schools and RCC, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where most of the money. So we get 58 cents. So what that gives the county is $5.6 million. Now, I got a $180 million budget, and I'm using round numbers, okay? $180 million. Only 5.6 of that comes from property taxes.
Boy, only $5 million out of all that comes from the property tax, it goes up.
Yep.
Is the rest of that money passed through from administering state programs or federal programs?
Grant money, yes.
Grant money. Oh,
yes. And listen, Josephine County is not unique to this. We do have a very low tax property tax rate, but as far as a proportion of the money, most of the money comes from grants. So you go back 100 years. It was the other way around. The county raised just about all their money and got very little from the state or the feds. And now it's the other way around. The county raises very little money and gets most of the money from the state and the feds. And always remember, all money that comes from the state and the feds comes with strings attached.
Yeah.
And so you can only be used for certain things. So if a grant goes away, the program goes away. You know, not all counties have parole and probation. We happen to have that. And we're trying to hang on to it. But I don't know what the future is going to hold for us, because we just, the unions, we just went through our union contracts. And so, of course, there's COLA raises and everything. And I didn't push back hard on that, because our employees face the same inflationary challenge as the county does. So you can't get mad at the employees for asking for more money, because they're seeing it. And I'll give you a little statistic. This is an eye-opener. In 2020, it was said to purchase a medium-priced home, you needed to make about $59,000 a year of family income. So wife and husband, if they make 59, they probably can go buy an average house. 2024, that number has went to $106,000, an 80% increase.
Wow.
So that's what inflation does. And so I can't get, as much as I know that the increase in human resources, in the price of human resources, or the cost of human resources in Josephine County, is unsustainable. We will see the outcome of that in the next few years. So it'll probably be, you know, less people and less services, unfortunately, unless something else changes. And so it's election season, and I'm always amazed and amiss for office, how they have, they've never been in office, they've never been in government, and they don't understand how it works, but yet they have all the solutions. I'm just always amazed.
All right, let me ask you, so out of this $180 million that Josephine County is budgeted and spends each year, it only has control over about $5 million of it that they actually raise through the property tax.
Let's run down that list a little bit, okay? So that would be called our general fund.
Yeah.
That's where our discretionary funds are. So you go down, you got 5.6 from taxes. You got about 800,000 from sin tax that we get from the state. So that's alcohol, tobacco, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
We get that. Then we get PILT, payment in lieu of taxes. So when we quit cutting timber, Wyden got, he went to bat. Well, he's the one that destroyed the timber industry, and then he went to bat in Congress and got PILT.
Yeah, well, he broke the county's legs and then gave them a crutch under PILT.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that diminishes every year, and it has to be reauthorized by Congress. And I will tell you, if we do get in a multi-theater conflict, and we need more money, or the federal government needs more money for the military, I have a funny feeling programs like PILT are going to go away, along with Secure Rural School.
How much money do you get out of Secure Rural Schools and PILT? Can you spitball those?
It's about another $5 or $6 million, you know.
Okay, so figure overall you've got about $10-11 million that you can count on. But what this is indicative of, and I don't know if people realize to the extent that most of our counties, we really don't have control of our destiny, do we? We're not in charge of our destiny.
No. Like our entire health department, it gets virtually no general fund money. It's all out of Oregon Health Authority. And if they cut back, which I am, because this inflation is going to affect the state.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the state was pretty smart during COVID. They went and they hid money all over the place, and now they're clawing that back. So they ought to be able to run okay for a year or so. But then you'll start seeing some cutbacks there. At least that's my prediction.
And you haven't even talked about the call on tax money that'll be PERS, because every public employee that you have in Josephine or Jackson County, you have to pay big retirement, big fat retirement fees too, right? Isn't that a big part of it?
That's true. And we have to pick up their PERS costs. So that's been part of the negotiation. You know, it's interesting. the commissioners don't have as much authority over these negotiations as you think we do. Like the law enforcement, they're a non-strike entity. I mean, they can't go on strike. So if the commissioners don't agree what's going on with the union negotiations, actually it's association negotiations, then you risk bring in an arbitrator. Well, that's just another expense, and who's going to win, you know? So, and I don't begrieve all of those. Is that a word, begrieve? I don't know. I don't get mad at the employees for wanting more money, because they're fighting this inflation like everybody else.
Yeah, the only thing I would say where I have a problem with it, though, is that the private sector is not getting the raises either, though. They just aren't.
Not as bad. The raises across the board are not even getting close to the inflation.
No. So nobody gets. But then Josephine County, a small county like Josephine County, then struggles to attract talent, because a lot of times they'll go to a bigger county that might pay a little more, right, for the same job.
Or they leave the government sector and go into the private sector. We've had that go on, too.
Oh,
so yes. Yes. So you always, you know, people are going to go, you know, where they're going to survive the best. That's what they're going to do. It used to be, you know, government jobs, the federal government, they have very high pay. We talked about that. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but we've talked about it on the radio before. They're way above the pack, is the federal government. State governments depend on which state. They're doing okay. And then, but local government are probably the ones that are struggling the most.
Now, let's have a prediction here before we take off here, Herman, okay? Because, like I said, you look at these budgets, you look at the numbers, you know the rate of inflation, even that we have right now, they talk about 3. It's still probably really 5 or 6, you know, when you add the stuff that they always don't want to count in inflation. And it's not going into deflation. It's just a lowering of the rate of inflation. How long do the counties and especially city employees have before you think that you predict it gets really, really critical, if you were to say a year or two, when all the ARPA, all the bailout funds are washed out of the system and we're going to have to really make some hard decisions? What do you think?
Well, some places are already seeing that. Look at the city of Grants Pass with their struggle to fund public safety.
Right.
So they've already got that. It's going to be this budget cycle, and the next budget cycle is going to be worse unless something dramatically changes. You know, anybody that thinks inflation is a good thing is drinking too much of their own bathwater. I always remember what Milton Friedman says: inflation is good for no one.
Yeah.
It is. And you talked to Cliff Pence yesterday about the national debt. You know, and. You know, you look what's going on with the federal. That's why most of our grants come from the federal government. And I look at the federal budget. So 70% of their budget pretty much is tied up with Social Security, Medicare, and government pensions. So they can't make any adjustments there. So everything else the federal government funds, all the military and all these programs and everything else, is 30%.
Very small percentage of the overall take, yeah.
Yes, and that's why they're borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. It's insanity.
Yeah, that is definitely not sustainable. But then you think about that: are we in essence, is government debt just keeping the economy alive at this point? Because you know they count GDP as with government spending too. And you're thinking, all right, they borrow another trillion into existence every 100 days. That ends up going out into the grant stream funding to the states. Then the states end up spreading some of that out to the county. And boy, this is, it's not really coming from economic activity, is it, Herman?
No, they used to always say somewhere around your debt should be somewhere around 70% of the gross domestic product. And now it's well over 100%, way over. Yeah. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's even over 100. It's like 136, maybe. I might be out of line with that number, but I know it's way over 100.
But
Alan Greenspan used to always say, you know, your countries can have debt and everything. But then he would always say, if you read his book, he'd repeat himself. He says, but there's a tipping point, he would say. you know?
Well, the takeaway, though, from this is that in spite of all the happy talk from the state of Oregon with, you know, the revenue forecast, et cetera, that realistically we're going to be coming up in the next year or two against the reduction in force and reduction of services and paying more. It's probably the worst of all deals. Would that be fair to say?
Well, I don't know. The paying more bill in most situations it has to be voted in, and I don't know how people are going to have a big appetite for more taxes when they're facing the same forces of inflation.
Oh, I'll agree with you on taxes, but then remember, look at what the cities and counties are exploring now. Fees. Everything gets a fee.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but, you know, there's that goes back to politics. You know, they only put up with it so much, and the next thing you know, they start electing people that probably won't pass me.
Okay. Now, final question I have for you. How many diversity, equity, and inclusion agents do you have in Josephine County government? Do you have any?
Not yet. And,
okay.
You know, don't jinx me.
Okay. Well, the only reason I ask that is that because if you have any, you got to do like what DeSantis did. He fired them all out of the state university system. So that's what DeSantis did recently.
Well, this idea of prosperity being delivered from government is ideas that come out of our university system, and they're fantasies. They're fantasies.
Well, based on people in academia who never worked in the private sector for a day in their life, in many cases. All right, Herman, got a roll, but I thank you so much, and always appreciate the talk there. And keep the lights on. And you're going to run for re-election, or do we know yet?
Haven't made up my mind.
Haven't made up your mind. All right, We'll be in touch.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Herman. 732, Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchaker. This is the Bill Myers Show. With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Well, you know it's Orlis, Stove and Spas, we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and
see our friend. Lamont here from Orley's Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orley's Stoves and Spas. Orley's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orleys has everything you need. We are fully stocked on Splash Around above ground pools and accessories. Orleys is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with both spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orleys Soaps and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford. Come see us at the Klamath County Home Show, March 8th, 9th, and 10th.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
Diane Anderson back with me. Hey, Diane, it's great talking with you. I just wanted to mention that we had a little bit of a snafu last time you had one of these public meetings, and I wanted to explain that that was just because, you know, we had said you're going to be in one area, but you were actually in a different library, and it was the Phoenix one that got kind of messed up, and we just wanted to apologize for that and just let people know.
Yes, I do. I'm so sorry for the people that showed up there, and the librarian was, she was going to be very helpful and put a sign on the door because they closed at 5 o'clock there.
Yeah.
To let people know that, anyway, there was, sometimes you... the libraries and I don't match, you know, as far as the times and dates and stuff.
Yeah, when you have these meetings. And I just want to let you know that you've been bringing you've been bringing so much information to people about the United Nations, the globalist attack on our cities, the 15-minute, the climate-friendly, equitable communities, all of this. And you've been putting on little seminars here for free. You've been doing this out of the goodness of your own heart, just wanting people to know about this. So you have to understand what's coming at you so you can fight it and resist it to the best of your ability. And so sorry about what happened in Phoenix, but you're going to do another one, and this is for sure going to be Thursday at the Central Point Library. Give us the main talking points of what you're of where you're going on Thursday. And it's 5:30, usual time for that?
5:30, yes.
Okay, so Thursday.
Actually, I want to kind of point people to the direction where this is actually coming from.
Okay.
I'm going to start out and do a quick review of the 15 and 20 minutes communities. The cities, and for those new people coming in. But most of this is coming through the regionalism, metro governments, they call it. Here locally, it's called the Rogue Valley Council of Governments. And you know, councilman that you were interviewing a few minutes ago, I've been reading this morning the board packets for Rogue Valley Council of Governments, and you'll see the assets going up to November of last year in 23 of $12 million. That includes their federal grants and that kind of thing. So they've got a lot of money to play with, looking at the past 2 years, their board packets. But I wanted to emphasize that American cities, New York, and our local regional capital, which is Seattle, they all fill out voluntary local reviews. They are sent to New York City to their foreign office. And after they collect them from worldwide cities, then they are sent to the high-level political forum at the United Nations. They're answering the call to UN's call for sustainability is what they're doing.
And sustainable development and sustainability is really about elimination of your property rights. And it's kind of going down that you'll own nothing and be happy, according to them, right? You know, eating your mealworm sandwich. What are the other points you'll be touching on here? Because I got a couple of minutes before news. And the main thing is just you tell people what you're going to be serving up. It's going to be pretty meaty from the sounds of it and not mealworms.
Yes.
All right.
Well, I wanted to kind of create those links between, like, our Chapter 660 of Land Conservation Development Code Systems and how they are making all of Jackson County and Josephine County actually metro regions. And they're calling Josephine County the Middle Rogue.
The Middle Rogue? Oh.
The Middle Rogue, yes, that's the name for their metro region.
And, of course, regionalization is really about getting centralized control, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. You know, it started out with Nixon's executive order, and it went down the line through some of the presidencies in different ways. But none of the people in any of the National Organization for Regional Governments, none of them, those people are elected at all. And they get buku money from you know, all different avenues. And they don't even really come out and say to the public what they are really doing until this last time on this agenda that they're putting through, the 20-minute cities, or I mean the 15-minute cities, or the 20-minute neighborhoods. In Portland, they're called 20-minute neighborhoods. In Josephine, Jackson counties are called climate-friendly and equitable areas.
In other words, little Soviets, in essence, is when you get to the floor of it. And this is by executive order of former Governor Brown. Okay, I got about 2 minutes left here, Sam. Go ahead and give me the final 2 points, and then we'll make sure people know that this is going to be Thursday night, 5:30, Central Point Library. And for sure, we'll make sure and hit that location again. But please give us the other 2 points.
Well, we're going to highlight smart growth.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon has new partners for smart growth, and then we're going to connect that to Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. So, if any of those terms ring a bell with you, you'll want to come and listen to how they're all connected to Oregon's. And your plan here for not using your car, for one, because there's no way. I mean, how? Imagine you need to do your errands and make a couple appointments during the day and then stop by and get groceries on the way to your favorite grocery store How are you going to do that without a car? And by 2029 in Medford, they've got demand management interpretations in the codes to change your traffic behavior and to get rid of your car by 2029 from going downtown.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. Okay, so demand management, by the way, that is one of the reasons why there's been such a hard push to chip your vehicle, because the way they would manage demand would be to charge you more to go to downtown in at certain times of day, so that only the wealthy essentially would be able to afford to pay the tolls, as it were.
Pay the toll, right.
Yeah.
Or if you have an EV or an AV station.
Right. All right. So this is going to be, once again, Connecting the Dots meeting with Diane Anderson. This will be 5:30 Thursday at Central Point Library. Central Point Library, all right? And go check her out, and it's absolutely free. She's doing this work out of the goodness of her health, and her heart, to just keep us informed on it. I don't know how healthy you are, Diane. Don't want to get involved there, but have a good turnout, no. Okay? All right?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet. 20 before 8, and we have State Rep Kim Wallen joining me here in just a couple.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber, when 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers, featuring lumber, hardware, and siding. Starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber, your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
Every year, over 3 million older adults are treated in emergency rooms for fall-related injuries. If you or a loved one are concerned about falling, Prestige Senior Living Arbor Place is hosting a free fall safety webinar on Friday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. The webinar will feature physical therapist Mike Studer and discuss the importance of balance and walking gait in preventing falls, along with the effects falling can have on mental health. Visit PrestigeCanHelp.com to sign up today. Again, that's PrestigeCanHelp.com.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation. KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
Good morning, I'm Marcus Veal with your NBC5 Morning News Update. With the cold weather sticking around, some weather shelters are open again this week to make sure no one is left out in the cold. Ashland Shelter at 2200 Ashland Street will be open through Thursday. It opens at 5 in the evening until 9 the following morning. The doors close at 10 p.m. The Grants Pass Warming Shelter at 1990 Northwest Washington Boulevard is extending their opening through Thursday night. The doors open at 5:30 each evening and close at 9. Wake-up call is at 6 in the morning, and all guests must be off the property by 8 a.m. A special exhibit has made its way to the Grants Pass Museum of Art. The Mark Simon Scholarship Fund exhibit is up and running. All the artwork on display will be available in an online auction open now. The money made from the auction will go towards scholarships. The exhibit runs through March 16th. The museum is open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 10 to 5. In case you missed it, Q100.3's 21st annual St. Jude Kids Radiothon raised just under $200,000 last week. The event raises awareness and money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital based in Memphis. With the Q's $200,000, Bi-Coastal Media's family of stations raised $679,000, pushing its total amount raised for St. Jude over the past 21 years over $10 million. Congratulations to Q100.3 and Bi-Coastal Media. For NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Veal. Have a great day.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jolene at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and your ability to navigate wet, slick roads. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Continental, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
744, State Representative Kim Wallen, and of course, Republican Party Whip is back on, and she's just whipping things around here. And the money's whipping around, and the bills are whipping around. And Kim, we just have to try to understand how to make heads or tails of it, because a lot of times when I see press releases from the governor's office, I'm not exactly a very trusting individual. Okay, can you blame me on such things?
No, it is good to be cynical at all times.
Okay, or at least maybe not necessarily cynical. What would be I want to trust but verify. I don't know. Let's start with Measure 110, if we could. The Measure 110 fix, which went through and is on, has that been signed into law or is it on the desk? I forget.
I don't think it has been signed, but it will be. Soon.
Yeah.
The governor supports it.
So. Yeah. There is a difference of opinion. I'll be talking with Dwayne Junker a little bit later, and he is not a fan of what happened, thinks that there is just a lot of money that's going to be going into the NGOs, the nonprofit world, the same sort of people that ended up causing many of these problems in the first place with Measure 110. He's not particularly trusting. You, on the other hand, are feeling a little more guardedly optimistic about this, and I want to find out why you're feeling good about what was done. Let's get your take on that.
Well, possession of a controlled substance is now a crime again, or it will be as soon as the governor signs the bill.
Okay.
That gives the law enforcement, the bill also gives law enforcement great discretion, complete discretion in whether to offer treatment or whether an arrest is appropriate. And once arrested, then drug court becomes an opportunity for people, which has always been very successful in Jackson County. There is money to set drug courts up again. There's money. One of the problems, of course, is that we don't have a lot of treatment facilities or beds. Some of the money is coming to Jackson County for some shovel-ready projects for ARC.
Now, do we have fewer treatment beds now than we did before? And if so, I'm kind of like wondering why they would have gone away in the interim between.
We never had very many.
We never
did.
That
was really the problem. So
all right.
We're working on building them now. So during the time while a person is waiting, after the encounter with the police officer, while they're waiting for a treatment bed, if one is not immediately available, they will essentially be on probation. So the community corrections, which is parole and probation, that has to get beefed up significantly. Money is coming for that. So
is this for Jackson and Josephine County or just Jackson County, Rep? I'm sorry to interject there, but
23 counties, including Jackson, signed a letter that said they were willing to consider looking at setting up these deflection programs, which essentially are putting you on probation while you wait for a treatment bed.
And do you know if Josephine is part of that or is it just Jackson? Jackson has a few more bucks. That's why I was just asking. If
It really was more a matter of whether Association of Oregon Counties sent out the letter and someone in the county needed to sign it. Now, Jackson County doesn't belong to AOC, mm-mm, but they got the word and did sign the letter. So I don't remember if Josephine is on that list.
Okay, well, I can ask Commissioner Barachick.
Yeah.
He'll probably let me know.
Yeah.
Maybe he even text message me because, this is an important part of that toolbox, to the ability to be able to divert and say, all right, we're not going to throw you in the slammer, but we got to get you into a treatment regimen, right?
Correct.
That's more or less the rule here. Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right.
And money is coming for that. So I'm not saying it's not going to go to the NGOs. Here's the difference. Now you can receive a free needle or a free pipe, and you're fine because it was not a crime for, quote, personal use amounts, close quote. Now that's a crime. Possessing the substance is a crime. So that makes a lot of the so-called harms reduction a lot less feasible, shall we say.
Hmm. What about when you have, I know that what was proposed, and I think this is what's happening with Stab and Wagon wanting to make a respite center. Is there a different rule? Does that have anything to do with these changes? Is that affected by that? Do you know?
I don't know yet. There will probably be some rulemaking. Again, the lion's share of the money is going to community corrections, deflection programs, treatment programs, because at the end of the day, the treatment programs is where it's at. And the police officer has discretion on which kind of treatment is deemed appropriate. So there is a lot of discretion for the law enforcement officer.
Did law enforcement want discretion?
Yes. That was one of the non-negotiables for them.
Oh, okay. All right. So a lot of this is going to be going through law enforcement then. We have money coming in to get some shovel-ready treatment facilities. What is the long-term funding source for this? Or is there a long-term funding, or is this coming out of just general fund dollars?
Well, it will be general fund, and it is going to be a challenge ongoing to fund it. However, we have a $70 billion state budget, so $211 million seems like at least a minimum that we should be putting towards this effort. So it's not as if we're, in spite of the fact that people run around with their hair on fire, that we have not enough money. $70 billion, it's a big number. That's an annual budget in Oregon for 4 million people. It's a lot of money.
But obviously there's a lot of money that's going for not necessarily such good things. And the not such good things tend to be very popular with Democrats.
For sure. I would spend a lot less money and very differently if it were up to me. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. It's like I had these fantasies that it could be like Governor DeSantis's Florida in some respect, in which he fires all the DEI agents out of the state university system. So in other words, you're either teaching or you're not. You're not going to be in the university, that kind of thing.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. State Rep Kim Waldman with me. Kim, why don't we dig into the latest one? This was the number one priority from Governor Tina Kotek, and this is the home or the, what is it? Not home building, but
the housing
plan.
Yes.
What can the state actually accomplish when the state has usually caused the housing shortage that we have in the state of Oregon? It's like I'm looking at this as, you know, the same people that caused the problem are now saying we wanted this new bill. We got this new bill that's going to fix what we have. We still live under state land use control and limited property rights and insane regulation with building anything that people want. And maybe that's it. Maybe they're just going to be building homes that people don't want, but that the state requires. But help us make heads or tails out of this one.
It is complicated. You're not wrong. And it's complicated policy-wise and politics, because it's not just the conservationists, the environmentalists who are in love with our land use laws. It's our farmers. And the two groups come together on that issue and really make it difficult to have true reform in the land use arena. So we struggle with that political reality pretty significantly up here, especially with all the really fertile farm ground in the Willamette Valley and with all the people living and wanting to live, you know, so many people want to live in the Willamette Valley. So that what we got in that bill was a very itty bitty, I wouldn't even call it encroachment. It makes it slightly easier for certain cities under certain conditions to access land that's in their urban reserve already. So it's not even encroaching on truly non-identified ground, but I don't even think that enough cities are going to be able to access it that it will be useful. However, sometimes you have to play the long game in politics, and part of the rationale for that bill is to have all these restrictions on it. Again, what was politically possible with the two groups fighting it as hard as they were, that we can show, well, we tried this and it wasn't enough. So,
oh, Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of a long game.
So you vote for it out of the guys, well, you're certainly not going to get a Republican housing bill through. We know that. If there's a Republican Correct. Housing bill, it's not going to happen. Dead on arrival.
Right.
And so do you believe that it will be effective, or are you more in that long game in which you got to pass it and then allow it to fail? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm in that camp because one of the things that you are required to do if you opt to have – if your city opts to bring land in through this mechanism is 30% of it has to be what they call affordable. And that means that it will have deed restrictions. It will either have rent control or it will have 30-year deed restriction that even if you sell it, you don't realize all of your gain.
You know that that makes it not pencil for people who yes, would want to build these things.
Precisely. And honestly, that is what I hope happens. I hope no one builds under those conditions because in 30 years, your roof is shot, you need a kitchen, you need bathrooms. In 30 years, you don't really have much of value to sell. Or if it's been rent controlled that whole time, that is a really good way to sort of pre-build something that doesn't have very much value. So I'm completely opposed and always have been to this affordable, section of housing being labeled affordable in that way.
Well, it sounds to me as if what the state bill will end up doing is pre-building poverty, future poverty.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I call it for sure.
Oh.
So
okay.
I'm hoping no one accesses. We can come back and say, see, we told you it wouldn't work. And which is really what I think it's designed to do. We have to find a political path through the groups on the right and the left who don't want to change our land use laws.
I didn't realize there was such support on the right for the land use policies either. Okay. All right.
And up north there is,
All right. All right. State Rep. Kim Wallen, thanks for being on here. And let us, why don't we get together one more time for a wrap on Monday, because the legislature will be sine die. And so let's do the regular time on Monday. And then work that out if that's okay. And I guess, is there anything really big that's going to be happening between now and the end? Or are we just kind of batting cleanup at the moment?
No, there's some things. The campaign finance reform discussion has popped up because of an initiative petition being threatened. So we'll see how that lands. It's in rules. Rules is one of the only committees that's still alive. I'm on rules. In fact, I'm late for rules right now.
I'm sorry.
At 8 o'clock. No, that's okay. So we'll be coming out. That's going to be huge. That's very big. And we can talk about what that will mean on Monday because we'll see where it lands. And then we still have the question about the staying on standard time. I think that might be dead because it got through that. It squeaked through the Senate, but I might be dead on the House side. So. Well, that'll also be something to watch in rules, and people really care about that. So
one way or the other, either way, we're going to have to change the clocks this particular Sunday anyway. We're not going to change that back yet, okay?
Correct. That is correct.
All right, will do. All right, Kim, we'll see you Monday, all right? Take care.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
7:58 and change, KMED, KCMD, waking up with the Bill Maher Show.